Now, David Ongley is my special guest. He's also a mate. He's here with his wife, Meredith. They're up from Adelaide on holidays, and about time you had a holiday too, because you work very hard as a hairdresser. We miss you as our hairdresser. You were fantastic. Don't belt the desk.
I'm sorry about that.
Tell us, how's it all going, mate?
Oh, great. No, fantastic. We've just enjoyed this little break we're having right now. It's fantastic. Mm. Absolutely fantastic.
You needed it, didn't you?
Yeah, you do. I mean, the work itself is fairly intense. If you take it seriously, it can be quite demanding. And, people need to be, each individual needs to be seen individually and separately. And by the time you've probably been through, maybe 15 different personalities or, 12 personalities per day, it can be quite draining.
But yes, it can.
But I love that. I love that part.
I know you do. And excuse me for interrupting. We had a barber shop here. We still have a barber shop in Port, but Keith was the barber, and he was your old-fashioned barber, and the blokes would come in and say, "G'day, Keith, how are you, mate?" Oh, yeah. And they'd tell stories, and they'd tell dirty jokes, and they'd tell all this. Well, he's left now, and it's been taken over by Jace Hare, lovely, lovely man, and they've redone the whole place up, which looks fantastic. But barbershops and that type of thing, when you're one-on-one with people, you're like a psychologist, a psychiatrist, aren't you? You hear all the stories.
Well, it's funny, isn't it, how we saw the Sex Discrimination Act sort of stamp the idea of barbers out in South Australia.
Oh,
so you couldn't.
Oh, he's getting heavy now.
Well, it went down where you couldn't really have barbershops. You couldn't You couldn't actually have a sign saying this is for men only and this is for women only.
Oh, I know. I see what you mean.
And that went on for quite some time, but it comes back to that bottom line that people like to go where they want to go, and they enjoy that medium, that lovely one-on-one. You're quite right.
But even if it's men or women, the barbershop is where gossip happens.
Oh, it's all gossip.
Well, it's gossip. It's stuff, did you hear about?
People like to talk about themselves, It's funny. The art of conversation doesn't really happen. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's all about...
No, I don't know what you mean.
Well, the art of conversation is to be involved in the conversation yourself. Right. But when you're working like I do, it's sort of like you've just got to listen and see what happens, if you know what I mean.
So you do more listening than talking.
You should do.
That's a good point. Marion says that to me all the time.
Yeah.
Paul, do more listening than opening your trap. Yeah. Just listen to what people say.
Well, first off, you have to find out what they want.
Yeah.
Because you're applying a service without feeling subservient. And there's a difference. You've got to be able to give that. You've got to be able to do that without feeling it's an issue.
Yeah. Hairdressing. You know what I mean? Yeah, I do know. Hairdressing around the world in Australia, it has changed, hasn't it?
Oh, well, it has. I was privy to the changes that the Vidar Sassoon people brought in. Prior to that, we were seeing people every week. And then, of course, shampoo, cut and blow dries became the vogue. And then you'd see everybody every 6 weeks. So your client base had to expand quite a bit to sort of, keep yourself busy. But I think, it was for the better because it meant that people could do their hair at home.
Yep.
And, a way much more professional thing. But, of course, it was derived through cutting, which as opposed to shampooing and setting. So cutting is you've got to stand up and be counted when you're doing a haircut, because you can't go back if you make a mistake. You don't make a mistake. I mean, that's the point.
But you were trained on Rodeo Drive.
I spent some
States.
Time on in Beverly Hills.
Beverly Hills,
correct.
Yeah. Gee, yeah. Top of the world there. You're talking about hairdressers that are top of their game.
Well, it's an interesting industry like that because people, it's a perception. The perception of an individual is their marker, isn't it?
Mm.
And in hairdressing, there's a lot of it. It's a tremendously competitive thing. So to go and do studies like that, you need to do that. You need to go to where it happens. And as it works out in Australia, we always get the fashion trends and so forth the season later because of the way the way it works here and our population. So to do that back when I did, that time over there, it was terrific because we were way ahead of ourselves. It was a fantastic way to be. We knew what was happening. We knew where the industry was going. These days you press a button and you get it on the net. But then the only way to do it was to go over there.
Go over there.
Yeah.
And it would have been exciting times discovering new ways and new styles coming in, how to cut women's hair.
Well, that's right. It was all about that.
Yeah.
Once you got over the jet lag, it was incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible.
But working with, for instance, in my case, it was some 15 people from around all around the world.
Who did you work with?
Well,
you're talking about top-notch people here, aren't you? You're talking about world-class people.
Christopher Brooker. I mean, Robert Adele was the original teacher of Sassoons. Christopher Brooker was, without a doubt, a world leader.
Wow.
There are a number of names that, for instance, have been displayed in shampoos and so forth over the years. I mean, Vidal Sassoon had a team of people that were really all very capable and went on and did their own individual things, either in retail or... Yep. Wherever, but they've all taught. I mean, the principles of Sassoons, for instance, are now sort of taught right around the world. It's a new understanding. It's a language that's now commonplace in the industry.
But back then it was revolutionary, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It'd never been done before.
What was it before them? What was it before that when my mum would have got her hair done? Poor old late mum.
Well, you see, a lot of people don't realise it, but your hair stretches when it's wet. I mean, you're working on five basic face shapes. You've got square, oblong, triangular, pear, and round. The perfect is oval. So if you can create the optical illusion of the oval when you're framing someone's face, this is it. You know, at the end of the day, the person goes,
out.
Yeah, I like it. It's like it's fashion's a tool, as you know, in the clothing department. Fashion, hair's in the same bag, really. I mean, you find out what suits you when you get to 30 years of age, and then you tend to wear it, if your hair stays on your head, that is.
You've got the hair
but
to do it with.
They did it with as I was saying, they would go and have their hair shampooed and set every week. It'd be stretched around a roller.
Yeah.
The hairdresser would do
the old set.
All this set thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like on steroids, you know. You'd be having a client at 9, 10 past 9 and 20 past 9, and then you'd be combing that person up at 9 o'clock at 9:30, 20 to 10, and then 10 to 10. I mean, that went on until someone ran late. No, that was ridiculous. It was a very sad reflection on the industry. But it came from the... Victorian era. It was something that people did on on a weekly basis. But a cut and blow dry meant that you could frame the face,
yeah,
camouflage the not so good features and highlight the better features with a cut and blow dry. Now that was something, because women were then going back into the workforce. It meant that they could do their hair at home. It was much better way.
Well, Mum used to do that with the old hair rollers. And
Paul, that was an amazing period to be in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I first started doing this, my brother-in-law was the first Australian to go through the Sassoon Academy and bring that technique back to Australia.
Wow.
I was his first student. This is in 1962.
Wow.
So that was amazing. We had clients coming to us from all over the place. I was booked out 3 months in advance. You know, I'm busy these days and I'm sort of semi-retired, but quite frankly, then, you know, it was colossal, you know.
Yeah.
Because the imprint that you'd put on the cut, the individuality that you created for that person would be a spectacular sort of, advert for you. You know, people would go out on a Saturday
night.
They'd
say, who did your hair?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So your work was advertising itself.
Yeah.
Talking
to David Ongley, who's a hairdresser, he's here on holidays with his lovely wife, Meredith. And sorry to talk to you. I mean, you're here on a holiday, and I know I'm talking to you about hair, but I'll talk to you about one other thing before we let you go.
Sure, mate.
And that is something that you also love, and that's drumming.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you loved drumming, and you have played with many of the top groups in South Australia, drumming. Is that an escape? I guess that's an escape from the hairdressing. It's an outlet for you. Is that what it is, or is it something that came about that you took up drumming?
I mean, look, I started playing the drums. I started learning how to play the drums when I was a child. I was six. And through good fortune, I ended up my neighbour, who was a gentleman like yourself on radio down in Adelaide, was managing a very well-known band.
What's his name?
Steve Whelan.
Steve Whelan, yeah. Of course I knew Steve, yes.
Mm.
Yep.
Well, Travis in those days was a band.
Travis Wellington Hedge is the name of the group.
Correct, yeah. Graham Goble on rhythm guitar.
Oh,
of course, as you know, in those days he went on. So that was the springboard, if you like, to Graham Goble's success. And my privy was that I went in and worked with these people. But at the age of 16, so I was 16 when I started with them through just pure luck. I loved drumming and I was taught well, but I mean, I was able to get into this crazy bunch of guys and we're still working. So it's quite amazing after 51 years.
You could have been with another big group, couldn't you?
Well, you see, Graham
just little sliding doors had to happen.
Yeah, Dad wanted me to pursue my career, and of course, Graham... had sort of indicated that, you know, if I'd gone with him to Alison Gross, which the bass player did, you know, and the funny thing is, I've told you, but the guys in the band don't know this. And that's the really interesting part, because when I joined the band, it was that split door, you know, that double doorway.
Yep.
Where, and I didn't want to seem, you know, like I was big noting myself or anything like that. But I think Graham had Strife at the time, getting drummers and different things.
So where could you have ended up?
Quite possibly I could have worked with either Mississippi or the Little River Band, you never know.
Oh,
wouldn't that have been crazy?
Sliding doors.
Yeah, well, it would, you know.
You know, I could be sitting here now. David, what was it like in the Little River Band,
yeah,
mate?
Well, that never happened. So it was
No, I know. Yeah, but isn't life interesting?
But the thing is, the technical director, if you like, of the band, Gred, was just wonderful to, you know, have his imprint back in those days. And, of course, he's still with us. So we do have a pretty good performing band in town. And it's, you know, it still works, you know.
No, it does well. And, look, you ended up a hairdresser and a bloody good one as well. So you went to where you were supposed to be, as far as I'm concerned, because I think the universe works that way. We're going to take a break now, just come back to you and wrap it up and play a song for you, one of your favourite singers. Choo Choo's at St Crispin's new opening hours. Starting from Thursday the 11th, daily for breakfast and lunch from 7am till 2:30pm. Sunset sessions and tapas kicks off every Thursday and Friday evenings from 4:30pm. Start off with one of their exotic cocktails, some chilled wine or an ice cold beer. Stay on and enjoy some of their mouth-watering tapas with delicious shared plates. And of course, don't forget the legendary Choo Choo's $15 fish and chips. It's a local favourite. Great views, great food, great drinks. It's the best way to catch the sunset. Come on down, no bookings necessary. Or check them out at choochoosatstcrispins.com.au.
ARIA award-winning Aussie rock favourites Eskimo Joe, performing all their hits exclusively for Carnival's 25th anniversary celebration. Under the palms and surrounded by stars, Eskimo Joe in Port Douglas will be an unforgettable concert experience. With support by Benny and the Clones, tickets selling fast. Great Northern presents Eskimo Joe Saturday, May 25. Tickets $55 from carnival.com.au.
Yes, indeedy. That'll be fantastic. Carnival coming up in May. And David Ongley is my special guest. David is here with his lovely wife, Meredith. They're having a holiday from Adelaide. We've talked about hairdressing. We've talked about drumming. Let's just finish it up by saying, why are you here? I know the answer to that, but why do you keep coming back to Port Douglas when those midges bite your leg like that?
Well, you know, we really love the place, and we know it now. We come back each year, and I don't know, it's got a special old-fashioned charm.
It has, and you and I have discussed this over an ale.
Mm.
The fact that it has almost a zen type.
Yeah, it has.
The moment you get up here, you're relaxed. Do you find that it doesn't take a long time?
I really like the kind of the tropic sort of thing too. You know, I really love that. That rain and the right at the moment, this is really appealing to me. I don't think Meredith's enjoying it quite so much.
Oh, okay.
Well, but I do. I mean, I love the rain. So, although I'm loving it here.
You love the warmth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You both love the warmth because it's getting a bit chilly in Adelaide.
Oh, it's starting to get cold downtown.
Yeah, and down in Victoria, icebergs down there.
Yeah.
And just terrible. But you come up here, that lovely warmth.
Oh, yeah.
Short sleeve shirts.
Hey, but you're more accustomed to the you know, this type of weather now, Paul?
I am, because you'll notice, I'll check my legs, there's no midgy marks now. But when I first got up here, they attacked me. I think what they do is they just initiate you, right?
Yeah, right.
The midges, and then they leave you alone, because I don't get midges anymore. Isn't it funny? And someone said that to me, Paul, when you're up here, you just take that little period, when you live up here, you'll find that it'll ease off. Your body gets used to it.
A little bit like bees. I used to keep bees as a child.
Bees?
I mean, I was an apiarist when I was a kid.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah, I was a child. I was only a child when I had that. Right. But once they get used to your smell, they don't bite you, which is really kind of a nice thing, because bee stings can be quite, you know, overwhelming.
How interesting. Now, how long are you up here for?
to them. I think it's the 9th or 8th. What is it, the 8th?
Now, what have you got planned? We're taking you out tonight. We'll take you out to a little special local place. What else are you going to do?
We've got a couple of restaurants that, we're going to go to.
Now, I'll tell you one restaurant to go to, without fail, on the inlet. Beautiful food.
Yep.
Now, they used to be down here. They're now on Wharf Street.
That's right, yeah.
But the food is absolutely beautiful.
We were talking about that. Yeah,
You mention Fab FM, you will get a beer. What do you call them? A beer to put your cold beer in? What do they call it?
Oh, okay. A coldy, warmy thing.
What's it called?
Stuffy, warmy, and coldy.
Looking at both. Three of us in here. Meredith's in here. We can't think of what it is.
It's something that goes around the bottom of a beer bottle, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing that keeps it cool.
Cooler. It's not a cooler.
It's a
beer holder.
A stubby holder.
Whew. Got it.
I tell you, senior moments between the three of us with 260 years experience. Yeah. You still couldn't think of a stubby holder.
Yeah,
right. But anyway, yes, go in there. When you're there, just mention Fab FM and they'll give you a free stubby holder, which you can take back with you, which would be good. Or have a little beer while you're here with the stubby holder.
We thought we'd hire a car as well.
Good.
So we're going to do a few things like that.
Okay, that'll be Avis and Budget.
Yep.
Just down there and mention Fab FM when you're there.
Yep.
Put the radio on 90.9 and you'll be set.
Yeah.
Lovely to see you. We'll catch up socially, which is wonderful, but I wanted the audience, and it was such an interesting talk with you.
Thank you, Paul. Thank you very much for having us in and doing this. It's great to see the studio.
Yeah.
It's a really lovely, lovely setup.
It's a lovely space, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
All right, let me play a song for you. What's it going to be?
Tina Arena, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
But what song?
Oh, Sorrento Moon.
Sorrento Moon.
Absolutely.
Okay, good on you. Thank you, guys. Here's Tina Arena.